he is, reaching into their pocket. What's the card going to be, John? It's a red card. That can mean only one thing. It's time for the Get Off My Pitch podcast. I'm your host, Eric Paisley, and with me tonight is...
John Brennick.
On tonight's episode, John and I will be talking about a very, very strange road game that exposes Nashville's lack of attacking power. Are the set-piece woes back, John? We're also going to discuss how Citi Field is a terrible place. How are you doing tonight, John?
I'm doing well. It was outside of the soccer world. Beautiful weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Great weather. Great time to be outside. Spring in Tennessee without the unfortunate spring storms that usually come around. So
yeah, knock on wood, we have avoided those so far. It is beautiful. I know that we have a German listener, at least one. So he sent me a picture of Dusseldorf, and it's still a little chilly there. So yeah, I'm looking forward to a nice long spring. Next week is Earth Day coming up, so we'll be, I think Earth Day and the LAFC game are the same day. Is that right?
I don't know when Earth Day is, but it also means it's my friend's birthday because his birthday always falls on Earth Day. So
cool. All right, we'll var that. All right. John, so we had a game up in New York. Speaking of perfect weather up there, despite some of the other delays in the league, 60 degrees and chilly night, but did not go our way. What was your gut reaction to that match?
So I was out while the match was on, so I plan on watching it later. I accidentally opened Twitter because I'm an idiot. So I knew what happened before I watched it. But what I watched and what the reactions and stuff I saw seemed very highly mismatched, you know what I mean? Which we've talked about before. The internet, the Twitter sphere, all the things tend towards hyperbole of, you know, after game one, we're the best team in the world, we're going to win the MLS Cup versus a loss and it's doom, gloom, Gary out, we're going to, you know, Gary out, Jacobs out, everything. With hyperbole. But when I watched it, it reminded me a little bit of the New England game where it looked like it could have gone either way. It looked like it could have gone a lot better for us. Now, it also looked like it could have gone worse because there was that stretch between like the 52nd and 62nd minute where they had a couple shots that didn't go in and very well could have or could have been closer. But we had a lot of opportunities. I mean, the first 25 minutes, if you take out our errors, it was a very close game. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's hard. The result sucks. It doesn't feel good. But it's hard to be entirely doom and gloom about it as we've felt, I feel like, coming out of other losses, if that makes sense. Because there, while the XG doesn't say it was a lot, there still seemed to be a lot of opportunities that we pushed forward and a lot of chances that we took. I don't know. What did you think?
So my reaction, so luckily I'm not on Twitter, but I was watching the game. And I gotta be honest, I checked out a lot during the game. I literally checked out, was looking at other scores. It was a boring game to watch.
We tend to do that.
We were good, but on the other hand, we were really good in stretches. So I liked how you said it. It was a weird game. It was boring, but it was also, I would look down and all of a sudden I'd hear like something happen. I'm like, oh crap, what just happened? You know, so we were.
Yeah, it was boring, but it was back and forth. It wasn't just, you know, hey, they're kicking the ball around for 10 minutes while they build up play. Okay, let me check. You know, yeah, it was, I don't know.
I will say though, NYCFC is a much better team now. They were markedly better. They looked like dog crap that first game. They were much better. Much better team. So, you know, that's...
And you know, I believe one of us on the podcast, you, said that this team could be... first of all, you predicted they could wholesale for turnover the entire roster because the organization, they didn't. But you said that they're going to look like a different team when we play them again, and they did. They did.
And I knew from some of the reporting that Club Country USA had done, listening to some of the things that Tim Sullivan had written, you know, talked about, I knew that they were going to be a very, very different team. Now, I didn't get a chance to listen to the podcast or the post-game stuff because it was such a nice day. I've been, like I told you, I've been cleaning the garage. So I have not dived into some of the reaction, and I'm kind of glad because the more I've sat with this game, the more ambivalent and the like what you said, the more weird I just feel about it. It was just a strange game. So anyway – So let's talk about the players and individual efforts here. So let's talk about our hardest working player. And I got a real problem with this category because it was very difficult for me watching it live to say who the hardest working player is. I feel like, again, Dan Lovitz gets the nod for me this time, but only because he was sort of the brightest spot in somewhat of a dull game. He was chippy towards the end. He kicked a mic, which
that was a highlight.
But that's the problem, right? That was the highlight of the match. Like, I'm like, oh, that was cool. One thing in a million. Yeah. So Dan's edge, and you know, he continues to, I think, impress me. I think his skill is getting his crosses are getting a lot better. I don't know. He's really starting to level up, I think. So hardest working player for me, Dan Lovitz.
All right. I'm going to give mine to Hani because he scored a goal. Great. But the thing I saw is the man was triple teamed anytime he touched the ball. Like normally we see him get near the box and he's like, I got a defender to shake. I'm going to do a little step over and stuff. He was doing step overs 40 yards from the box because there were two defenders in front of him and he was trying to make space for himself to make a pass. He was doing step overs and spin moves in the open field because they were crowding him so hard.
Yeah.
He was having to work really hard. He was having to very actively move to open spaces because they were tracking him. You know what I mean? You know how sometimes there's usually an open guy to pass to or whatever. Hani had to make himself open for passes. So in that respect, I felt like he was hardest working because, I mean, we've always seen, he always puts an effort. He's hard on himself when he doesn't play well and all those things. But I felt like he was very active in trying to get into the game because they were trying so hard to take him out of it, to triple team him, to stop him from doing stuff. And honestly, it's a testament to that fact that he got the goal because, you know, he went into a different position instead of pushing up into the box. He kind of hung back and Dan saw him and, you know, got that great pass. So I think that only came out because of the hard work he was putting in. So it's odd to give him the hardest working, but I feel like I got to recognize, like, I saw him trying his best to do something and make something from nothing.
Mm. Yeah, that's good. I didn't catch that. I think that my backup would have been had he played better, Annabelle Godoy for really trying to take control of that center field. But I think he was just outplayed. He was definitely outplayed by the skill level of NYCFC. And it was sort of evident. His frustration was evident towards the end of the match and resulted in some pretty poor play from him, which is unusual. That's not the norm for Godoy. All right. MVP for you. Who do you have since you went with Hani for hardest working? Mm-hmm. Who are you doing MVP?
So it's a little bit of an odd one. I'm going to give it to Walker. Hmm. Now, to be specific, if you watch the two goals that they score, he was not near or responsible for the guys who scored it. You know what I mean? Like, if you watch that, I don't think you can blame him for that. So, now granted, I mean, they scored, so yes, the whole defensive play, but he wasn't the guy marking Chano on the goal. He wasn't near the guy in the header. It was over him. He was shorter in the box. Anyway, so I'm giving him leeway for that. When we looked brightest was near the end of the game, and he was forward. I don't know if you noticed, but Hani's goal came off of Walker having the ball, doing a spin move, 30-some yards out from their goal, kicking it over to Lovitz, and then Lovitz cycled it back to Hani. Mm-hmm. So technically, I looked and neither one of them get an assist, and I'm not actually quite sure why Lovitz doesn't get an assist for that, but he would have gotten the hockey assist as being the second pass for that. He was also up there holding up the ball. He was doing we've talked about, you know, Walker had the talent had he decided to maybe be shorter, be a little bit faster. He could have been a midfielder. He could have been something else. Mm-hmm. We looked best when he was up at the end of the game and he was doing things and trying. You know what I mean? I'm talking about he gets in that mode where he just wants to push forward and take it upon himself. And he did that. And honestly, we looked better of that. And that's kind of a indictment of our offense that we looked better when our center back was up doing those things. But I think he made a lot of difference. And obviously, he played well and he stopped a few things on the defense. You know, he did a lot of the right things. Again, I don't think he was truly to blame for either of those goals because he wasn't the guy who was supposed to be marking the man. So yeah, I gave it to Walker, oddly enough. I don't know.
Yeah. So that actually triggered something in my mind. I don't know if it was Hollingshead. in the LAFC, in the El Tráfico, and again, I don't want to really linger on that they're not our team, but
yeah.
I noticed that LAFC does that also. Their center back, I think it's Palacios, but it may be Hollings. One of their center backs has the green light to take that ball straight up the middle of the field. And we've looked dangerous when Walker has done that. We've looked dangerous when Godoy has done that. So, I think that I've also seen that in a couple of matches I watched this weekend with in the Premiership and in the Premier League. I just think that that's a nice addition to have. And I feel like the only reason we can do that now is because Jack Mayer has really come into his own. Walker can confidently take that ball up the middle of the field because he knows Jack's back there, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's...
And I also believe...
I feel like that's a step forward. I'm glad you brought that up. I kind of wanted to talk about that, but I'm glad you brought that up because I feel like that's a big step forward for the back
line. And also he had that great long ball, I think, to Fafa that Hani then tried to shoot. But anyway, so he's also got the great long ball pass that Walker pulls to try and pull some strings. He's the guy that stood out to me as one of the difference makers that led up to the goal. So there you go.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break.
Wait.
Okay.
What was your MVP? No,
MVP, right. My MVP is, it's Hani Mukhtar, but it's only because I feel like Shaq Moore has really sort of stepped up to fill that gap of delivering the ball to Hani. I feel like Hani looked dangerous when he got the ball from either from Zimmerman or from Shaq. And I feel like, that's the play, right? That's what we want to see. These are our two, our DP and one of our star, United States men's national team defenders, both of them, getting involved, getting big time involved, getting the ball to our star, but Hani's my MVP. Without him, it would have been such a one-sided affair. We would have looked really, really bad. So Hani's definitely.
Now I'll let you call a break if you want, but
Hani's my MVP. I just thought you did such a good job on that section, and I actually got to talk about something I wanted to talk about, which was, Zimmerman coming up on that, on the attack, joining the attack. I like that. So, all right, well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss some uncomfortable questions. John's going to hit us with some stats. I'm going to hit John with a stat that's also an uncomfortable question. And we'll tell you who or what needs to get off our pitch. So stay with us. And we are back. Just a show note, we do not condone violence. So when I say hit John with a stat, it's not actually hitting him with something. So, all right, John.
I don't know that anyone assumed that, but okay.
Yeah, well, we got new listeners. So uncomfortable questions time. I'll kick us off. And this one's tough. Should someone else besides Hani be on the corner kick?
So you say it's tough, but in my personal opinion, I think it's an easy answer. Yes. I think he is our most dangerous player. Now, I think he should take free kicks where he has a shot on goal and a chance to shoot it.
Yeah.
Because he's done it before. He's great. Yeah. So then we're talking about just corner kicks. I think we should, because I think we need to do more where we get him involved, whether it be maybe like how Dax is he's always the short guy in the corner. And I don't mean that as a height joke. I mean, he's the closest guy when we're defending. What I mean? He blocks those kind of low. Do something where we do that, but he purposefully heads it out to Hani and Hani shoots, or we take it to the top of the box and Hani shoots. Like we've seen, I feel like he's always a threat. He gives us someone else out there to track. You know what I mean? Everyone knows who we're going to kick to the box? Well, we got CJ or Teal, whoever's playing striker. We got, Zimmerman and probably Mayer's up there. Again, not always, but usually. And then we send, Shaq back to cover. So, those guys are going to be in there. You don't have to account for Hani when he's over there doing the kick, but now you do. You're like, well, why is Hani floating on the box? Okay, we need to have someone watch him in case, if for nothing else than to drag them out and possibly pull a defender away from the box. It's a good thing. The other thing is I think we could do stuff where we plan to kick it out or head it to him. He's got a great shot. He knows what he's doing. Like, I just feel like there's much more he could be doing on the field than being the guy to take the kick. Dan has proven that he's taken a couple free kicks, so it's almost always Hani.
Right.
And he takes the corner kicks. He's proven he can do it. he gets it in the box. And I know last year there was a phase where Honey was not having the greatest streak of corner kicks either. And I was like, let Dan take it. We know he can do it. So I think it could open things for us. I would like to see that more. There are still going to be times he may want to take it, and that's fine. But I, to me, it's not a hard question, because I personally have had that opinion where I'd like to see him doing more or being more active on the field in those situations than just, you know, kicking the ball in and he comes up. And if the ball happens to get redirected back to that side, he's, you know, the guy who might play it back into the cycle. So
help me out with something. So when we had a set piece play in the, on a home game, I can't remember which one, where the corner came in, it was an out swinger, and it went actually back to Fafa, and it was like a one-touch shot to the goal. And it was pretty dangerous because it started bouncing around, and like it was chaos. I kind of like that, but I've only so far only seen it once.
Well, remember, we scored a goal.
Well, my question is, did Hani shoot that in, or did Dan shoot that in?
So my answer is I don't remember, because I can't think of the kick you're thinking of specifically. But I do remember we also had one last year where we did a early to mid last year, we did a special set play where they did that and they kicked it to the top of the box, and Hani was there and kicked it in, and the ball bounced around and I think ended up going in. But that's the thing. It's about changing the direction, because, you know, in general, you know, you see people approaching, you know, the goalie's got the ball over here. He knows there's a guy coming. You switch the ball, goalie's, you know what I mean? Like, he's trying to block those angles. You're doing this and you're switching the ball. It makes the whole defense pivot. So I don't know. I would like to see more of it, but, you know, Steve Guppy and Gary Smith are smart fellows, so they may know better than me, but I would love it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, what you got, John?
So you mentioned Godoy trying very hard. I know we try not to say too negative things, but Godoy did not have the best game.
No.
I think we could all agree on that. There's a couple missed passes. There was the very poor shot attempt that he had. And luckily he didn't get a card. He's a man who sometimes has a temper and gets a card. But I just felt like in general he was – and also he was the guy responsible for marking on the first goal or second goal. The channel goal.
The second goal.
Yeah, the second goal. So he was the guy who, you know, let that happen. So again, not his best game. If, let's say, Godoy was on, he had a full great game, is that still enough to make our midfield competitive? So in other words, I'm giving him a pass. This was, he had a bad game. You and I have talked about, we wanted Godoy to, you know, we had the whole question a couple weeks ago of Godoy, Leal, who would you rather have back? We both kind of talked about Godoy. We like him. If he goes back to having good or even great games, is that enough in our midfield, or do we really have a midfield problem now?
We do. I feel like part of the issue too is that Alex isn't doing all that great either. I feel like Sean Davis is really the only stand-up mid we have right now. And I got to be honest, he didn't have a great game. You know, he had some pretty – he had a couple of misses that were – he had a couple of giveaways. They were notable, only because, you know, he was having to work so hard. It's hard to say, but yeah, I think we do have a midfield problem. And I don't think I'm saying anything that Twitter doesn't probably already say a million times, right? But yeah, we do. And I don't know how to frame it, because I like the players, and you know I'm an Alex guy. I love Alex. I love Alex as a player. He's a heart player. He's passionate. You know, he loves this team. You know, Godoy's the same. Like, I love the passion that these guys bring to the field, but, you know, they're just, you know, Dax, of course. I mean, he's just, as Bill Burr says, he comes in at a six on the anger scale. He steps on the pitch at a six, and it only goes up from there, right? You love that, but I don't know, man. It's not helping. It's not getting us wins. So,
So here's
that is a hard. That's a difficult. That is a truly a difficult question. Yeah.
Well, and so as a little bit of a follow-on, here's my observation. Something that you and I mentioned after the Cincy match. Richie Ledesma for New York City FC. That boy ran at us, and he ran through the midfield and came at us multiple times. And I know they announced his name, and he burned us. Reminded me a little bit of what Acosta did. However, Acosta was doing it when Dax was starting. This was against Godoy. So, do you think we simply need more speed at midfield? Like, would that help in situations like this? Like, in other words, just hypothetical, Alex is a pretty fast guy. What if Alex filled in there because he's a little bit of jack of all trades? Would that help? Or, you know what I mean? Is it just speed, or do we need something different? And I don't have an answer to this or an opinion, just kind of a open-ended question.
I don't either. Because I don't know enough about the midfield is a area of the field I don't know a lot about. I don't know how you're supposed to play. You know, I actually did some research after my comment on the whole attack, my whole rant on getting an attacking mid, learning basically that's not a thing, so I really shouldn't say stuff like that. Like, you know, you can have an outside back that attacks as, you know, as a, you know, like an eight or like a box to box guy, but like midfielders are supposed to hold up the ball to get it, you know, they're really even back to goal, most of them, right? Like Sean Davis. So I don't know. I don't know how Alex would feel about moving over there. Obviously he would do it, but I don't know how well he would do. He seems to enjoy more of the Leal style where he gets to range left and right. He doesn't seem to really want to be in the middle, but I don't know. I truly don't know. But his speed is okay, but it feels like, his speed is maybe not the issue, John. I think also he gets dispossessed fairly easily and he can dispossess, but guys that are better skilled than him, he doesn't do very well. I feel like that's what Godoy does so well, is that he can dispossess people when he's on his game, right?
Yeah. But
I feel like he and Dax both are just kind of losing a step. Getting the ball, you know, capturing the ball, holding the ball up and getting, you know, and dispossessing people seems to be what you want in a center midfielder. And I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. And who are you going to get? I don't know who's out there, right?
And I don't necessarily either. And that's the thing is, I feel like we mentioned Acosta, who's also a great passer, to be honest, to his credit. He's a great passer as well. But I feel like what I saw with Acosta and then again with Ledesma this time is that speed against us burnt and hurt us. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how to counter that, but that seems to be one of our problems when it comes to midfield. You know what I mean? We have other problems in different areas. You know, you can attack on the wing.
The new Slovakian guy, his name?
Greguš.
Greguš, is he a midfielder?
Yes.
He's tall and kind of.
He's tall. I think he's kind of in the mold of a Godoy where he's, you know, a defensive midfielder, but a little, I don't know. I have yet to see him really take anyone on a dribble. I've seen a lot of passing, so I'm not sure. And again, I didn't go back and watch tape. I'm sure Valer probably asked that guy. He knows a lot and watches tape. Yep. But I haven't gone back and watched enough to know like what his past history is as to how much he was that kind of guy.
Yeah, I know Slovakian hockey players, but I'm not familiar with too many Slovakian soccer players. So, pardon me. All right, John, what are our stats for tonight?
To talk about the weirdness of the game, we talk about, you know, we had 47% of the possession. Again, not our typical possession thing. And again, we usually have much less when we're winning. Right. But I find it interesting. 15 to 14. We outshot them by one. We both had six shots on target. So, I mean, you look at the numbers, we had even possession. We had that. If you look at the intervals, there were definitely times they controlled the ball, but there were times we controlled it. So, like, it to me, it just expresses that this is a weird match. It doesn't feel the same as New England, where it just seemed like it was they got that tiny, like, that one goal lucky break, and we just didn't get lucky. Their goals were good. It's just hard to express to me how, what that really was. However, I will say this, shout out to Nashville SC Stats Twitter account. It's at Music City SC Stat if you want to follow, but, they post some stats every now and then, and I've found them more very informative as recently. This one I thought was interesting. 6 out of 33, which is 18% accurate crosses. So in other words, we crossed the ball poorly last night. Is what we saw.
We had 26 crosses. 20.
Okay, this is 33. It probably depends. But yeah, we did a very poor job crossing the ball. They were not very good. They were not very accurate. It didn't produce a lot. And in fact, a lot of what I saw is we had some good shots from the top box with rebounds and things like that. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it didn't come off that stuff. And I don't have a stat for it, but I'll give you one, which is the one set piece goal allowed yesterday. And it scared me because there was a later one where Schaffelberg didn't cover someone and almost went in. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go back to 2020 and 2021 when we had set piece woes defending. So I'm hoping we're not headed that direction, that they can prevent this. This was a one-off, maybe with some other conditions, but oof, because those are heartbreakers when we have that happen. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
We had, so. Yeah, here's the scary stat, you know, to align with my uncomfortable question was we had seven mm-hmm. corners and nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Not even that. They weren't even dangerous, John. They weren't even, like, yeah. they didn't even feel dangerous.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. All right, John, why don't you tell me now who or what needs to get off our pitch?
Well, first of all, I could take the low-hanging fruit that is complaining about playing at Citi Field because, I mean, you saw the field conditions. They weren't pretty. It was also – it felt small. I think the dimensions were actually a little
smaller.
Bit little.
Yeah, it is smaller.
Yeah. And I don't know. I didn't like that. I think that's what led to it feeling like a back-and-forth thing is because there was just smaller room to play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But, no, in last night's game, you know, it was – first of all, shout out – I know – oh, by the way, we're going to small acknowledgement to the Apple TV issues people had. That happened after our game for the most part. Apple TV worked great for our game, and I never had any issues. I know there was
issues
with
yeah.
season pilot. Yeah, I know. It was.
But none today. I was able to watch El Tráfico, no problem. So,
yeah. But I do want to mention that there was the announcing last night was pretty good. But when you continue to insist that Dan Lovitz is Irish and we call him Danny Boy for no particular reason – it got on my nerves. Danny Lovitz. First of all, I have never in the 4 years we've watched this team heard
that.
Anyone call him Danny.
No
I've never seen
that.
Anyone call him Danny. Never, never.
No.
He's, as far as I know, Lovitz is not a very Irish name.
It is not.
Okay, thank you.
I can tell you because so, I'm wearing my St. Patrick's Day Nashville SC t-shirt. So.
So I don't know where it came from or what possessed the announcer. I don't have his name in front of me. We'll look it up later. I'll var that. But calling him Danny Lovitz the whole game just ground on my nerves. I feel like when Dan kicked the microphone, it was his expression of frustration, though he didn't know it at the time, of being called Danny all night long. He was letting it out on the field mic to pass that message back of like, look, my name is Dan.
Yeah, right.
It's just Dan. So whoever the announcer is, we'll find your name. I'll var it next week. I apologize for not knowing it, but you can get off my pitch calling the man Danny Lovitz.
Well, John, let's talk about Citi Field. And so I'm watching the live video. And so I'm going to start with a positive, which is I did get a nice big glimpse of Valaire's disgust was briefly shown on the broadcast, along with, you know, our friend and friend of the pod, Stephen PhD, with his arms out going, with the what the heck he said literally you could
see
his
celebrated the goal though they did
yeah
show them
but you could
there,
see
so
him
then,
you could see
but.
Him mouth the words what the heck you know censored it for the Apple for the broadcast but along so during the break at Citi Field they're playing music and then I recall that a few nights of last week the Baltimore Orioles were also playing at Citi Field and lost to the Mets on Saturday night. During the seventh inning, after the eighth inning, they started playing some music between the innings. Broadcast came spilled over. Guess what song they were playing? Johnny Cash's. Yes, they were playing our song. You can run on for a long time. At Citi Field. Citi Field did that. So Citi Field. You can get off my pitch. You don't take Johnny is ours. It's New York. Also, there's sort of new hot chicken place in New York, and they were talking about it on the. Did you catch that on the broadcast? Anyway,
no, I did see the advertisements for the Dude Wipe advertisements. Which, first of all, Dude Wipes.
Yeah, whatever.
Nashville hot user Cool Mint or whatever. I saw that too. So I guess I don't know. They're stealing our identity, is what you're saying?
No, they're
because they don't have a good enough one on their own.
Yeah, they're just. They're just being crappy. So you get off my pitch. Citi Field, get off my pitch. They're crap. Hey, red card. Supplemental red. I'm giving a double red for, again, this is my, you know, this is my thing, throwing crap on the field. Carlos Vela was hit in the head with a beer at LA Gas. Like, stop throwing things on the field. Okay? Yes. Stop it. That can also get off my pitch. I don't care how.
I don't think anyone disagrees with that red card.
John has been to a soccer match with me. He knows how upset I can get, but I will never throw something on the field. Anyway, get off my pitch with that. All right, so I'm going to calm down. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, We're going to tell you who we're playing next, speaking of LAFC, and we will give you our score prediction and tell you what we got wrong, so stay with us. We are back. All right, John, who are we playing and when are we playing?
Light detour. I would like to redirect your attention to this Wednesday, April 19th, when the U.S. men's national team is playing a friendly against Mexico.
Okay.
So do remember, both Walker and Shaq are called up. Now, you and I discussed this. We didn't discuss it anymore on Twitter. But just for everyone's full disclosure, obviously you saw everyone, all the U.S. players that were called up played this weekend or were eligible to at their club's behest. Mm-hmm. Flew to it, or, you know, flew down to, I think this is in Dallas. I don't know. Are going to the game, and then they'll be eligible to return. Now, some of them may have varying levels of fitness, whether they play or not, but just FYI that in theory, no one's scheduled to or mandated by being called up for this to miss a club game. But yeah, there'll be a friendly between the U.S. and Mexico this Wednesday. So that should be fun because, I mean, it's CONCACAF. It's U.S.-Mexico. It's never dull.
It's never going to be dull.
It might be low scoring, but it is not dull. So I would highly recommend watching that.
And we will, since Nashville, two Nashville players, we will discuss it on our broadcast Sunday.
Yes, yes. We'll give a brief mention of it next week as well. However, back to the matter at hand. Yes, this Saturday we are going to be playing LAFC here in Nashville at 7:30 p.m., the usual kickoff time. So welcoming them back to Geodis Park after, you know, their championship MLS Cup run last year. So it should be, and coming off of a fresh El Tráfico win, it should be interesting.
So if people wanted to tell us how interesting this game is going to be, how could they do that? How could they reach us at the podcast to tell us how they feel?
They could
about
reach
it?
Us on Twitter at @GUMP_pod. You can go on there and respond. We post when we post the episodes up. We occasionally post some other things midweek, some other trinkets of information or banter, and you can always reach us there and we will respond or attempt to.
You could also, if you wish, watch us live. We broadcast on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. Central. We are on Twitter live and YouTube, so catch us there as well. And I also would like to shout out, if you'd like to stop by, John and I will be tailgating at the LAFC game. So we will be, I don't know what the address is. It's the,
the thing off Craighead with the other stuff.
Yeah, we'll try to tweet out our location once we arrive there. Stop by,
we'll
say
tweet
hello.
Tweet out the address.
Yeah, we'll tweet it out. It's nearby, it's quite a ways away from the stadium, but it's a nice spot to tailgate. If you'd like to stop by, say hello, have a drink. We'd love to chat. Yep. All right, John. Score line for this one, what are you thinking?
Well, the one thing that I know you and I have complained about multiple years is that Nashville plays to their opponents. So sometimes we've played down to opponents, and we've seen that where we've dropped points.
The Toronto match shows.
The Toronto game is a great example. Yeah, I think New York City outplayed us. But anyway, we play down to opponents, but sometimes we play up to opponents. So part of me is like, well, is this one where maybe we rise to the occasion and we make it a difficult game, or are we just going to get beat? I don't know. I'm going to go with the realistic side of me that says we lose 2-0. I think they get an early goal. We try to chase it. They get something at the end, and we unfortunately go home disappointed. That's my realistic view, because I think LAFC is still a force to be reckoned with. They don't have Bale, who is the big name, but they got Boenga. They've got Opoku, who's out, who's, I think, scored twice this year. But they're firing on all cylinders. It's going to be a tough one, man. They're going to put it to us.
I think they're going to be goal. I'm going to call it. There's going to be 3-0 LAFC. There's going to be a goal from Vela. There's going to be a goal from Boanga, and there will be a goal from Cifuentes on the outside. Okay. I am actually calling who's going to score. They are going to boat race us. I watched LAFC. If not for just the sheer will of Chicharito and the new guy that's the U.S. prospect, Bolt.
Boyd, yes.
Boyd. If it wasn't for Tyler Chicharito Boyd and Boyd, that game would have been like completely out of hand for El Tráfico.
Yeah, Tyler Boyd's shot that he scored was a screamer.
Tyler Boyd's a good – I like that guy. I like the way he plays. It's a shame he's on LA. Here's what I think about, and I've said this before. I don't actually have a problem with LA Galaxy, the team. I have a problem with LA Galaxy fans. I think that that's a team that deserves better fans. Kind of like, honestly, kind of like DC United. And I can say that because I used to be a DC United fan. But that is a, that's a whole nother rant for another episode. But yeah.
Now, I will say this. It is exciting because I know LAFC has visited before, and they, I think, had a pretty good hangout with ours and a tailgate.
Yeah, I think that'll be fun.
I think this will be an exciting game. It will have good energy. But I do think if they decide to put the pedal to the metal and try to smack us down, we're going to be sitting back, bunkered down, and it's going to be a long night. And,
we're going to be trying to chase the game. We are not a team built to chase a game. We're a team that's built to go up one goal and then just park the bus for 90 minutes. Like it's, that's a cynical, obviously a very cynical take, but realistically, this is going to be a 3-0 game. I just don't, because their defense is good. Hollingshead is a good defender. Leon, Pagliasso, Gaines, these are good defenders. Like they're a good defensive team too. So it's not just that they can score on you. And Kellen Acosta, speaking of hardest working players, that guy is everywhere. So you talk about someone who's going to blow past our midfield. Kellen Acosta is going to be – Dax McCarty's looking at Kellen Acosta's cleats running as he like zooms by. Like it's going to be – it's not going to be good. Anyway, I don't mean to be that cynical or that down at the end of the show, but I feel like this one's going to be a loss. So I'm going to enjoy the tailgate. So that's what I'm focused on. Yeah. All right, John. Let's talk about what we got wrong from last week.
Only thing I have noted is that I said they were going to play somewhere in New York because I didn't actually look, but it was at Citi Field, which is technically not their home. Their home is usually Yankee Stadium, but we also know that NYFCFC is basically a nomadic team at this point because the Yankees obviously trump everything they're doing. Yeah. So. I don't know where they're going to play week to week, honestly.
You would think,
I didn't get it right.
Think a franchise with that much money, again, folks who may not know on our new listeners, this is a team that is tied to Man City.